Okay. We're going to kind of wrap up numbering systems today, and then we're going to play with Alice. Okay, so what we're going to look at now is how to go from binary to hex and back and forth between the two. And remember what I said the last time. Every hexadecimal digit can be turned into four binaries, and every four binaries can be turned into one hexadecimal. That's why we chose, or we didn't, that's why hexadecimal was chosen, because of that relationship. Every four binary bits can turn into one hexadecimal, and every hexadecimal can be turned into four binary bits. So, I have a B here, okay? In decimal, a B is an 11, right? Because I've got over here in hex and in decimal. An A is a 10, a B is an 11, a C is a 12, a D is a 13, an E is a 14, and an F is a 15. Okay, so those are my hexadecimal to decimal. And at some point, basically, those will become kind of committed in your mind, those six things. So, a B in decimal is an 11, which means I need to turn on 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1st, 2 squared, 2 to the 4th, 1, 2, 4, and 8. I need to turn on the right bits to make a B. Okay? A B is a decimal 11, so what bits do I turn on?
2 to the 4th.
2 to the 4th, or 8.
2.
2.
And 1.
And 1. So I put a 0 in the one I'm not using. So a B is 1, 0, 1, 1. Okay. What's a C going to be? I mean, what's the C going to be?
1100.
1100. 1100. Because a C is a decimal 12, as we see over here. And a 12 means I need to turn on the 8 and the 4. Because 8 and 4 make 12. Okay? Now, what's a 7 going to be?
111.
I want four digits, though. So what's the 7 going to be?
0111,
because I'm turning on the 4, 2, and 1, right? I don't need the 8 to make 7. I'm turning on the 4 and the 2, which makes 6, and one more, which makes 7. And E is a decimal 14. So what do I need to turn on to make an E?
1110.
Right. 1110. I need to turn on the 8, 4, and 2. If I turn on the 8, 4, and 2, I have 14. And anything I don't need, I put a 0 in, because I need to have the 8, the 4 digits. Okay, so that makes me, that gives me the translation. So a BC7E in hex is equal to 10111100111110. Okay? It's a lot easier to read the hex than it is to read the binary, which is why we have this relationship, is that we can easily see the hex and the binary. Okay, if I go to that handout that I gave you, numbering systems and codes, and you scroll down a ways, you can see the relationships. So there's where I've got it set up. Okay, I've got the hexadecimal, I've got the decimal, and I've got the binary. Now notice at the bottom here where I've got F. F is the last one that can translate. Okay. This question came up in the other class, and so I'm going to go over it with you all. If I have a binary system, it has 0 and 1. So the biggest digit is 1. If I add 1 to it, 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1, bring it down. So after 1 comes 1, 0. If I'm in an octal system, an octal has digits from 0 to 7. So 7 is the largest one. When I add a 1 to 7, 7 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1, 1, 0. So basically, when I run out of digits, the next thing is 1, 0. And that's true in decimal. In decimal, my digits are 0 to 9. 9 plus 1 is 1, 0. I've run out of digits when I hit 9. The next number, I have to move over a position, and it's 1, 0. In hex, my digits run 0 to F. So if I add F and I add 1 to it, I put down the 0, carry the 1, and I have 1, 0. So always when I run out of digits, the next number is going to be 1, 0. Okay? So down here, when I ran out of digits, F, the next one is 1, 0. Then 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4, 1, 5, 1, 6, 1, 7, 1, 8, 1, 9, 1, A, 1, B, 1, C, 1, D, 1, E, 1, F, 2, 0. Just like when you get to 19, the next number is 2, 0. When I get to 1F, the next number is 2, 0. In decimal, when I get to 99, the next number goes over a position, and it's 1, 0, 0. In hex, when I get to FF, the next number will be 1, 0, 0. Okay, so when I run out of digits, and I don't got any digits I can use, then I move over a position. If there's something already in that position, I add 1 to it. Like 1, 9 becomes 2, 0 in decimal. 1F becomes 2, 0 in hex. Okay? Does that make sense? Yeah, it did look like it didn't make any sense to you. Ask a question.
I don't even know the question I'm supposed to ask.
And she laughs. Okay, not my appropriate response. Neat. I don't quite know how to answer unless you can come up with a question. Anybody else come up with a question?
It's my fault because I was in here Tuesday.
Yeah, you're going to be lost for the first 15 or 20 minutes. Because unfortunately, yeah. Well, that makes me feel a little better. Okay. Essentially, we're dealing with numbering systems. And the numbering systems, these, obviously, you know decimal. In hexadecimal, there are 16 digits. And you have to have a digit, has to be only one character. So when you get to 9, you run out of the conventional digits. And so we add in capital A, B, C, D, E, and F. And so an A is equivalent to a 10 in decimal.
And I was trying to listen to you. Where's that page right there?
If you go down, I think I say numbering systems or something, it's on my WeGo. Okay. And again, please remember, I wrote this probably 20 years ago. The information about the codes is old. Don't use it to help you do the ASCII assignment, or you'll get it wrong. Because there was an early version of ASCII, and that's in that handout. We're going to be looking today at a later version of ASCII, and that's the one you should use. There was a 7-digit ASCII. We're looking at 8-digit ASCII. Okay. So basically, we go A, B, C, D, E, F. And then when we hit F, F plus 1 is 1, 0, and we just keep going. Okay? In binary, we run out of digits when we hit a 1. So the next one, when we add 1 to 1, is 1, 0. And we keep going up like that. Okay? So, okay, so now let's try the hex one more time. If I have 2FA8, and I want to convert this into binary. Okay. And I do it, when I'm doing this, I do it one character at a time. And remember, decimal has powers of 10 underneath it. Binary has powers of 2. Okay, decimal has powers of 9, of 10 rather. Binary has powers of 2. 2 is base. Binary is base 2. Binary is base 2, which means it has 2 digits. Decimal is base 10, meaning it has 10 digits. So 2 to the 0 is defined as 1. 2 to the first is 2. 2 squared is 4. 2 cubed is 8. Okay. So to get 2, what do I have to turn on here? What combination of 8, 4, 2, and 1
zero,
do I need?
0, 0, 1, 2.
Just 2. So I've got 0, 0, like that, because I just have to turn it on. So 2 is 0, 0, 1, 0. What's F? What's F? What do I have to turn on to get to F?
Every single one.
Every single one. Because that's 8, 4, 2, and 1, which is 8 and 4 is 12, and 2 more is 14, and 1 more is 15. And from that little chart I wrote a minute ago on the board, we know that decimal 15 is an F. So I got to come up with 15, which is 8, 4, 2, and 1, and that gives me 15. Okay? So F is 1, 1, 1, 1. What's A?
1, 0, 1, 0.
That's right. A is 1, 0, 1, 0. Okay? Because I'm turning on the 8 and the 2, and 8 and 2 make 10. And A is a decimal 10. Okay, and then 8, what do I turn off?
1, 0, 0, 0.
Right, and I don't know exactly where I'm gonna put that, but anyway, 1, 0, 0, 0, because I'm turning on the 8, but I don't need the 4, 2, and 1 when I've got 8. Okay, so I'm just turning on the 8. Okay, yeah.
The decimal 15 and 10, where, oh, okay, so A is 0, 1, 0 to 9, and then A is 10?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. A is 10, because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, so A is the next digit after 9, so it's equivalent to a decimal 10.
So the 2 is a 3? The 2 is a decimal 3?
No.
No, the 2 is a 2.
The 2 is a 2.
So 0, 1.
So look over here at the chart
okay.
Again.
I'm thinking 10 digits, but it's
0, 1, 2. Zero. Down through 9, I'm in sync.
So
and then
nine.
I go to 1, 0, and I go to A.
All right.
Okay, so now if I write this random string of 1s and 0s, okay, so I've just written this long list of zeros and ones. How do I translate that?
You can't translate.
I come over here and I start at the beginning and I divide it up into groups of four. Well, that wasn't a very good divide. What did I have there? 1, 1, I think.
Yep.
Doesn't much matter, that's what I got now. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. This one is only 3, so I can throw in the leading 0 if I want to, just to make it all 4. Because leading 0 isn't going to hurt anything. Okay, so I can throw in that leading 0 to make it 4. So now I start translating this group. What is this? 0, 1, 0, 1, what is it?
5.
Because the 4 is on and the 1 is on, right? What's the next one?
15.
15, which is?
F.
Because 8, 4, 2, and 1 are all on. What's the next one?
1.
Just 1. The 1's on. And I got too carried away with writing the string, so I've got another F here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got another 5. Okay? But essentially, I can translate binary into hex very easily. Just divide it up into groups of 4, and I've got the hex. Okay? Questions? Okay, now we are going to look at ASCII code. So we're going to go back to my heat page, and I've got a reference for you, reference for ASCII. So click on reference for ASCII. So here's my ASCII code. And notice I've got all the letters on the keyboard over here. And some other stuff over there. Okay, so I'm gonna look at capital A. And capital A, I'm gonna look at decimal and hex, because that's what we've been looking at. So capital A is a 65 in decimal and a 41 in hex. Okay? So, I am going to insert, and so a capital A is equal to a 65 in decimal and a 41 in hex. Okay, so that's the information they've given. Now I want to figure out what the binary is for it. Well, translating the 41 is the easiest way to go. So if I translate the 4, what do I get? Ah, come on, you did a 5 a minute ago.
You did 4.
Now you got to do a 4. Huh? It's 0, 1, 0, 0, right? The 4 is turned on to make a 4, and that's all it's turned on. Now what's the 1?
0001.
That is the binary for the letter A. So when you hit the A on the keyboard, what you get stored is 01000001. That's the binary for the A. Okay? So that's what you get stored. Now, if you look at the chart, B is going to be a 66, and we'll talk about these in a minute, and a 42 in hex. Okay? So B is going to be a 42, which means it's going to be what?
0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0.
So what do you guess a C is going to be, looking at this pattern?
0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0.
0, 0, what?
1 right there.
Nope. 1, 10, what comes after 1?
1, 1.
Okay, so that's a C. Okay? So basically, there's a pattern going on here. Okay? D is going to be 0100, 0100. E is going to be 0100, 0101. And it's going to keep going up as the letters of the alphabet go up. Okay? So now I am looking at, okay, what is a Z? Well, a Z is the 26th letter, right? So a Z is the 26th letter. So I gotta put a 26 in there, okay? If I look at, I'm gonna need, I can't do a 26 with 8421, can I? I can't do a 26 with 8421. That maxes out at 15. So I'm gonna have to come over and grab that digit over there. So now what do I need to come up with a Z, a 26?
16 to 8 or 1.
Right, six, no, not the one. 16 and 8, that's 24, and a 2. If I have 16 and 8 and 2, I am going to have 26, right? Now, what is the pattern that looks to be happening over on the side? I've got a 0, 1, 0, and that tells me uppercase. And then I'm putting 1, 1,
0,
1, 0. Okay, that's a Z. This part tells me that it is uppercase. This part tells me which one it is. Okay? So if I see some binary that has 010 at the beginning, I know it's an uppercase letter. And then I have to look at it and figure out what the uppercase letter is.
It always starts with 010.
For uppercase. Yep. Now let's just look at what that 65 decimal was. A is equal to 01000001. Well, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. So where did that 65 come from? What's turned on here?
64
and the 1. So the 64 and the 1 make the 65 decimal that I see over there. Okay? I could have also said, okay, I'll write down all of those 8 places and I will figure out the 65 by saying, okay, I can't use the 128, I can use the 64, that only leaves one left over, so I can't use 32, can't use 16, can't use 8, can't use 4, can't use 2, can use 1. Okay. And B is going to be 01000010, which means the 2 and the 64 are turned on, which is what gives me the 66. Okay. So this chart is giving me either the decimal or the hex, and either one of them will tell me what letter I'm looking at. Okay? If it's hex, then I look at the two characters individually. I look at what the 4 is, and I look at what the 1 is. If it's decimal, I lay out all 8 digits. That's how I translate the decimal. Okay? So, now let's look at a lowercase a. If I go back over to the chart, a lowercase a is a I think I'll go here. A lowercase a is a 97 and a 61, right? Okay. So now a lowercase a is a 97 and a 61. And uppercase A was a 65 and a 41. Okay? So a lowercase a, this is the decimal, this is the hex. So if I take a 61 in hex, what do I put for binary on a 61? What's a 6?
0110.
Right, 0110. That's a 6, right? Because the 4 and the 2 are on, and 4 and 2 make 6. What's the 1?
0001.
0001. So there I have the lowercase a. Now, if you remember, the uppercase a was 010. Like that. So the last 5 digits are the same. Tell me what a Z. Okay, I want a lowercase. Z, and let's note that it's lowercase. Lowercase Z is going to have that 011 at the beginning, because that tells me it's lowercase. If I had a 010 at the beginning, it would tell me it was uppercase. Okay? So I'm having the 011, and then 26 means on the 16, on the 8, I'm up to 24, off the 4, on the 2, off the 1. Okay? So that is a lowercase z. An uppercase z would be 010110. Okay? So those first 3 characters are telling me this is upper, this is lower, and then the rest of the characters tell me which it is. Okay? And notice this 97. Okay? With an A, 97, the 1 is on, and then I get all the way up to the 32 and the 64 are on. 32 and 64 is 96, plus 1 is 97. So I can look at it either way. I can look at it by hex, which I think is the easy way to do it, or I can look at it at decimal, which requires that I do a little more work. I think the hex is the way, easy way. And that's why hex exists, because other people said it's the easy way too. Doing it in decimal is not easy. Okay? Questions? Okay, one of the things I gave you on your homework is a dump of memory in hex. And I'm asking you to tell me what it says. Now, you're going to see the same characters over and over again, but you're going to get, hopefully, used to a pattern. And, you know, why did I make you translate so many? Because I want you to start seeing the pattern. Okay. If you go back to the page, you can also see that we have a space, for example, is written in binary 2. So when you hit the space bar, a 20 in hex is what will show up, which means a 20 in hex is going to be what? 0010 for the 2, 0000 for the 0. So that's the binary for a space. If I hit the plus sign, I'm going to get, and it shows you the codes for all of the things that you hit. Now, we're going to take just a minute and talk about codes. back in the good old days, we actually used what is called a Holler code. And a Hallworth code was put on a punch card. And you could put 80 characters on the code, on the card. So when I first started programming, I actually used these. And you'd sit down at a key punch, or you'd hopefully hand code to somebody, handwritten, and get somebody, the secretary or the data entry clerk, to sit down and key it in. And each instruction would go on one card. So if I had 20 instructions in my program, it would make 20 cards. And you hoped you didn't drop them, okay? Because the order could get a little bit out of whack. Then you had 12, 11, 0, 1, down to 9, with the punches on the card. So an A was equal to a 12 plus 1 punch. So if I wanted to get an A, I'd punch the 12, and I'd punch the 1, or it would. I'd hit an A on the keyboard, and it would punch a 12 and a 1. If I hit a B, I got a 12 plus a 2. Down through I was a 12 plus a 9. And then I ran out of numbers, so J was 11 plus 1. Down through R, which was 11 plus 9, and then S through Z. Basically, there's only 8 letters in that, because if you think about the alphabet, it's 9, 9, and then 8. Okay, you don't need 9, 9, 9, or you'd have a 27-letter alphabet. So they decided to make S 0 plus 2, and the theory, at least the rumor is, that they decided not to make it a 0 and 1 because that was too easy to rip, because they were right next to each other. And the Z is the 0 plus 9. And then there was digits were a single punch, and special characters were 3 punches. Okay, so that's how the original codes came about. There was no code for lowercase. You wrote an uppercase, okay? Then they came up with a computerized code called BCD, which had 6 digits. And those digits are binaries, binaries. So it was a 6-digit binary code. 6 digits meant that I could now sit and do the keyboard the way you do, and it got saved on a tape or something. And I didn't have to sit at the keyboard and type in and have it punch cards for me. It went out on a tape, usually. And 6 digits means there wasn't enough to have lowercase. Okay, so they stuck with uppercase. And then they went to a code called IBCDIC. And IBCDIC had 8 digits. And now you started getting into having the ability to have upper and lower case. And now we're using ASCII, which is also 8 bits. And ASCII has been here for a while, though it started out as a 7-bit ASCII, and then it went to an 8-bit ASCII. So essentially ignore the 7-bit notes and stick with 8-bit that we've been talking about. So that's the way computer codes evolved. Okay, questions on any of the stuff that I've covered? Not on computer codes, I won't ask you that.
Oh, I was going to ask that.
But you can ask me a question about computer codes.
I'm like, do we have to remember all this?
No.
No.
No. But if somebody talks about, I mean, it's good to have seen them and just know BCD, IBCDIC, all those stand for the history of computer codes.
Well,
yeah.
What's the full meaning of it? BCD, what does it stand
for? Oh, for please. Binary coded decimal, I can do. Now, IBCDIC, extended binary coded decimal interchange code, I believe, or something on that order. Yeah, not bad. BCD, I know, is binary coded decimal. And then IBCDIC was extended binary coded decimal, and then I'm a little fuzzy on the IC. Okay. That's what Google's for. Go look up IBCDIC, and I'm sure they'll translate it for you very nicely. Okay? Questions? Okay. This week, essentially, we're going to practice this in homework. If you have questions, feel free to ask. And if you have questions in class on Tuesday, we can go over anything that you got iffy on. I honestly would say that this is one of those things that I would play with this weekend while you're still remembering it. Because trust me, if you leave it for 3 weeks, then you're going to have to relearn it. It's not going to come as easily, so you're going to put in double the time. So I would suggest that you do it soon. Questions? Aaron, you look completely and totally, but you can ask questions later. Okay. Now we are going to move on to literally just playing for the rest of the period, basically. So, we're going to look at Alice. And Alice is just plain fun. On my site, I have a click-on that you can do to see, to download Alice. It's a free download. The version that I want you to download is 2.3 because essentially that's the version that allows the most learning of what I want you to learn, which is how to work with things. The others get a little bit too easy, so I want you to download version 2.3. If you decide to download it, okay? If you have kids at home, they'll love it. So download it for the kids. If you don't, download it for you.
Is it a game?
No. It's a visual programming to teach people to program. And it is used in elementary school, junior high school, and college. UMass Dartmouth, I think, has a whole semester of Alice. Okay? So basically, Alice is all over the place.
That's my kids still.
Pardon me?
Yeah, it
teaches object-oriented. Okay, so we're going to click on the picture of Alice here on your front, on the icons. Click on the picture of Alice, and you'll bring Alice up. Alice in Wonderland, a free gift to you from Carnegie Mellon. Okay. Tutorials, the one on ice skating is pretty good if you decide you'd like a tutorial. This one on ice skating is a pretty good tutorial. I'm going into templates. So I'm picking templates. It looks like Alice in Wonderland.
I have a blonde
block or
something.
Oh, it's on the, okay. It's on this.
Yeah, right. No, right, you'd have had to have, you can go to Alice's site and download it, but right today, I'd forget about that and do that when you get home.
It ain't coming up so much.
It eventually will come up. Well, it takes its time. But it eventually comes up.
Where's the template?
Pardon me?
I can't find a template.
Yeah, just click on Al. Oh, on template, it should be the third thing I think across. Okay, just get out of the tutorial. Okay, so if you go into File, New World, and there's the templates. Okay. You just have gone and followed the. Tutorial method. Okay, so I'm going to have this notice across here, and if you lost it somehow, just go into File, New World, and it will let you pick a template. If it doesn't show templates, templates is the third little tab going across. And you can click on templates. I'm doing snow. You can do whatever you want to do. So I'm clicking on snow, and I'm saying open. So now I have a background of snow. Okay. How many of you have played with this before? And I was looking at him in particular, no?
Me, no.
Okay. So now it says add objects. Objects are things that I can put on the snow. In my case, or the grass, or the sand, or whatever you picked as your background. And objects are a programming word for things that you create that you can work with. Okay, so if I create something having to do with inventory, that I can have an object, the inventory object. And we will talk about that a little bit more, but for now we're just mainly playing. So I'm clicking on Add Objects. So I click on Add Objects, and it brings me up with a whole array of objects down there. Okay, so I clicked on Add Objects, and I'm here. Now I'm going to put some penguins up there. I think they're cute. So I'm clicking on Animals. And I'm scrolling over till I find a penguin. And I'm putting a penguin up there, and I'm going to put a second penguin up. Notice when I did that, over here it added penguin and penguin two. So it is telling me that I've got two penguins there. If you click on the parts of the penguin, and we won't really do much with that, but you can play with it, you can access the penguin's head, their legs, their wings, and all that good stuff. But I'm mainly going to just deal with penguins. Okay, now I'm going to go out of here, and I'm going to put some snow people on. So I'm looking for people. And I found people. And I am going to find snowmen. And I'm going to put a snow woman on. And I'm going to put a snowman on. Okay? So I've got a bunch of objects. And now notice I've got snow woman over here and snowman over here. So I've got a bunch of objects up there. Okay? So, now I'm done with the objects and I'm going to click done. I can keep putting objects there forever, but I'm essentially done with my objects. So I'm going to click on Done. Okay. So now I've got these four objects. It says here that when the world starts, in other words, when I click play, it is going to do World My First Method. A method is an action. A method is doing something. And so it is going to do World My First Method. And I really wish they had put embedded spaces in there, but that's all right. So now I want to do some stuff. So I'm going to click on Penguin. I could click on any of them. And I'm going to come down and I'm going to make the penguin's wings flap. So I'm dragging over wing flap. And I want it more than two times, so I click on Other, and I can pick six, and say OK, and it is going to have the penguin's wing flap six times. Then I decide that I want the penguin to jump, and I'm going to have it jump two. And then I'm going to have the penguin glide. And then I said, okay, now the snow woman. I want to have the snow woman turn, and I want her to turn forward two revolutions. And I want her to say hello. Then I'm going to click on snowman, and notice whatever I click on up there shows up down here, right above the properties and methods. Properties have to do with color, and things like that have to do with how it looks. Methods have to do with how things work. Okay? So, I'm going to now have the snowman say goodbye. If I go over to properties and I click on penguin 2, I can change penguin's 2 color to pink. And now penguin 2 is pink. So the properties can change the look of things, and the methods tell it what to do. So now if I say run or play, it will do this. Okay. So I've basically written this little animated program that makes things happen. Okay, take a few minutes and play. Set up a template and make it work.
Still, nah.
What?
Still.
Yes.
Yeah.
As I said, we're just playing.
How do you save the color change?
If you just click on it, it becomes part of that penguin. Notice I came down here under property. I first had the penguin clicked. Then I came and saw that it was clicked. So I know I'm dealing with penguin 2. I want to change penguin 2's properties, so I click on properties. And I want to change the color to pink, so I picked on pink. And it's now pink. Both today and tomorrow. Tomorrow she's around at 10. Today she's around right after class. I'll be around for a little while, but very little while, because I'm going away for the weekend. Which still means I'm available for email, but I only answer it during naps. Because I'm going to visit my granddaughter. So I play on the computer while she's taking a nap, but if she's awake, I play with her. Okay, that would be if you were downloading.
Right.
So not here, you're not going to do that. So just close that, go back, go on to click on over there to get to the icons. No, right. And there's the Alice icon. Okay. So just bring it up. That is for if you want to download it for a computer at home. Okay. And again, if you download, please download version 2.3. Because if you don't, I'll probably send it back to you and say, uh-uh.
Okay. What is the dual wires and all the loops at the bottom?
That's Tuesday. But feel free to play with them if you want to.
Well, that you should.
Yeah, well, you'll put up the dual wire if you go and drag up, for example, if I say over here, okay, well, let's start with do together. So if I drag up here, do together, then I can go in and do together that I want the penguin 2 to jump 6. I want to change to penguin 1 and have penguin 1 jump 6 and put it inside there. This one is a height, oh well, it doesn't matter. And then Snow Woman, I can have her at the same time turn right by 2 revolutions. And I can at the same time have Snowman roll over 6 revolutions. So now those are all under Do Together. And so if I then click on play, it does all my first path. Okay, that's the first path. There's the glide, there's Snow Woman saying hello, he's saying goodbye, and now they're all doing everything together. So the do together basically is, where I can say, okay, I want all these to happen simultaneously. Then we will look at next time the while and the regular loop. The loop means do it multiple times and everything like that. But I'd rather wait and go through the explanation of that on Tuesday.
Sales pitch here is programming made fun.
So what'd you do when you're done? How'd you save
it? There's a file save, and you can save it as an A2W extension it puts on it. And so you can just do a file save and save it. As I was telling the other class, the class I took on Alice, when I was learning Alice, we had to do something. They said, try something. And I tried to make a horse gallop. Do you have any idea how hard it is to make a horse gallop? Because I had to move all of the legs and move the parts of the legs and make them all sync up so it looked like a horse gallop. Bad choice of project.
flexible option.
I'm probably not really all that interested in what you've done.
No, I don't think I teach us that. I was in the know.
In the programming.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's kind of a fun way to... And what I'm looking at here, the reason we're going to do it, and we're going to talk more about why to do it, but essentially in object-oriented programming, which is the way programming works lots of times, is these are objects. And I can change the look of the object by changing its properties. And I can change the methods, which is I can add methods, which methods make the object do things. So when I want to change the look of the method of the object, rather, I use properties. When I want to change the method or what it's doing, I use methods. And those are vocabulary words that you should know. What a property is and what a method is. Okay? And when we get into Visual Basic, which is what we're going to start, you'll see those words coming up. And we'll talk about properties in Visual Basic and all that. But this is kind of the fun approach to learning that vocabulary. Okay, the next thing I want you to do is download an example, a set of examples that I have. If you go to my examples over on the left, under examples, and you look under Alice Programming Examples, the one called Balls Bounce, I would like you to download that and unzip it. Okay? So the one's called Balls Bounce Examples. Basically, save it and then unzip it. So save it on the T drive or save it on your flash drives and then unzip it. Okay? So you can just save it, and then if you right-click, you can unzip. Okay. So.
It's under program?
It's under examples. Okay, so I put it out on one of my drives, so there it is. I have Balls Bounce Zip. I right-clicked on it and said extract all, and it will extract all of the programs. Okay, so I saved Balls Bounce Zip, and then I said, right-clicked on it and said extract all, and it extracted them all. Okay, so I have a series of programs there. And I'm going to look at the first one today, and I'll look at the rest of them on Tuesday as we talk about how this works. I just right-clicked on it.
No, I'm saying it after extracting it. It's an A2W file.
Oh, I have to open it inside Alice. Okay, so I'll show you in a minute. We'll go and we'll open it inside Alice. Okay, so now I go back to Alice, and I click on Alice, and I say File, Open World. Okay, so I'm saying File, Open World. So I I don't think I actually saved the last one I took a picture of. Oh, well. Okay, so I'm saying file, open world, and the one I want to open, and I'm not bothering to save my masterpiece, the one that I'm opening is on my G drive, I believe, and it is Balls Bounce, just plain Balls Bounce. Okay, there's a bunch of those in there that show how to use the if statement, how to use loops. I just want this top one, which is Balls Bounce. Okay, so we're going to just open the top one, which says Balls Bounce. Okay, so there's my Balls Bounce. Anybody having trouble getting it? Let me know.
Mm-hmm. I have it.
You have to open it from within Alice. It's not going to let you.
Oh, we'll undo it
again. I don't think so. It doesn't on my computer, and I don't think it will here or in most places. I mean, it's lovely that you can click on things and open things, but that tends to be Microsoft products or things Microsoft is more. If you go into the package and then open, you can open anything that's correct for that package. So go into Alice and then say open world and pick Balls Bounce. Okay, so what I'm doing here is if I play this, did you get it, Maxie?
I'm okay.
I'm playing and it does this wonderful thing. Each of the balls bounces once, okay? So keep it simple. So now what I'm gonna do is look how I did that. Notice here it says, when the world starts, do world my first method. And it shows world my first method here. Okay? So now what I wanted to do is, if I click on any one of these things, if I click on Toy Ball 1, it shows a whole load of methods that are available through Alice. There's one method up here at the top called Bounce, which I wrote. So Bounce is my method that I wrote. Okay, so I've got the canned methods that they gave me, and I've got my own method that I wrote. So if I want to write another method for the ball, I bring down Toy Ball, I click on Create New Method. Okay, so I'm going to click on Create New Method, and it asks me for a name, and I'm going to call it whatever. Okay, so I've now got a name that I called whatever. And I say, okay. And it has now created over here a method called whatever. There's my method called whatever. Now, notice it says edit. That means I can edit that method. So if I click on edit, okay, it brings it up. And you can see Toy Ball 1, whatever, is there. So now I can say, okay, what I want toy whatever to do is I want it to roll right two revolutions. And I want it to, let's say, roll left six revolutions, or whatever I want it to do. I can make my own method here. So I made my method. Okay, there's my method. And I can use it wherever I want. So if I go back to World My First Method and I drag over whatever, I've now added toy ball whatever to what will be done when the program starts. So now I'm not only going to do the bouncing, I'm going to do whatever it tells me to do in whatever. So I'm saying play, and each of the balls is now bouncing, and now it's going to do whatever, which is spin that ball two different ways. Okay, because that's what I told it to do. Okay, so these are methods, and these are methods that I created as opposed to methods that the Alice people created for me. I can write my own methods. Now, I write my method associated with an object. So that one was associated with toy ball. If I click on tennis ball, I can create a new method associated with tennis ball. Okay, so I can go and create a method associated with all of these things. And now what I have to do is that I wanted to do these methods, I have to drag them over. Because under World My First, when the world starts, I do World My First Method. So anything I have dragged into World My First Method will get done. I can create a gazillion methods, but if I don't drag them over here and say, this is what I want you to do, it won't get executed. Because when the program starts, I do whatever I'm told to do inside my first method. So I bounce the first ball, I bounce the second ball, I bounce the third ball, and then I do the whatever on toy ball, which causes it to spin. Questions? Okay, try that.
Yeah. I don't know how to open it in Alice. Like, do I go in Alice and then file and... Like I
try
to open world or whatever.
Okay, yeah, you do file, open world. Okay. So I'm going to go over here and say file, open world. You want to save this? No. And then I go and I have to search for it like I browse for anything. And I went to my G drive and then went to the folder called Balls Bounce, and then brought it up. Where did you save it?
I just go, because I guess it was because I didn't save this or whatever, but like, it wouldn't go to this, it would go to, like, do you want to save it?
Okay. So go create a method or two. And you can either do it with a new thing that you create or add it to my balls bounce or whatever you want to do. Did it cooperate?
Yes.
I have one more question. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. That's what I get paid for.
I have it on my thumb drive. This is on the E drive.
Wonderful. Yeah, now I... Okay, so let's see. go to C, and C, no, if you go to my computer, I was looking to see if my computer is available, if any place you can find my computer.
That's like the world.
Now, is it, no, you're still looking for what, Rob? Wonderful. Why don't you go over copies and see for a minute? I've run into this before too, and I haven't been able, right, it's not a good day. I've run into this before where I couldn't get Alice specifically to show a drive, and my workaround has been always to drag it to.
So it probably did.
Well, it came up with C, so.
Like all of them?
No, you can just drag, the only one I'm looking at is this one right now, so you can just drag that one over to, basically put it on the C drive. Right there, there's, you know, see if that will do it. Occasionally, Alice will not show the drive that you want. Especially if you've got a plug-in, a drive you've plugged in. And I can't really, have never been able to figure out what it is. So I just look at the drives that it's happy with and go and copy it to one of the drives it's happy with. And then I can open it. But I've run into this with Alice several times and I don't seem to run into it with anything else. So I think it's an Alice peculiarity. Okay, if you've got a couple of methods,